Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, miles out of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is March 29th, 2024, the first day of Abib 2029. This is the new moon Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, and it's the beginning of a new lunar year. Okay, we're going to start now. Our subject is a woman sitting on the beast. Rods, volume 2, number page 158. A woman sitting on the beast. Volume 2 of Shepherd Rod, page 158. While the revelator saw in the vision the beast, who bears the number 666 and the false prophet, enforcing a false religion by law and miracles within the borders of the government represented by the two-horned beast, he was shown another interesting sight. And I saw, he says, a woman sat upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet color and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Revelation 17:3-4. This symbol reveals that after the woman has sat on the head, united the churches, she also succeeded to sit on the beast. The beast is a symbol of the entire present world, both civil 10 horns and religious 7 heads. As the woman sitting on the heads denotes union of the churches, just so sitting on the beast represents internationally the church and the state, governed by the same head woman. Therefore, an international system of religion and a combination of church and state. In such a system, the great men of the earth will see a union of settling the troubles of the world, wielding the people, or welding the people and the nations into a worldwide brotherhood, fulfilling by a medium of religion, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall see peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. Though their intention is to reduce crime as well as war, their hope will be in vain. The cup, jewels, and the loud colors is our next subtitle. For the cup in the hand of the woman, being of the most precious metal, and as she is decked with the gold and precious stone, it denotes a most overwhelming temptation, fully realized in the miracle working power by the false prophet and Satan himself. Her cup books contains raised doctrine. Her books contains false doctrine, and being golden, it shows that they are plated with the Christianity. Thus the following prophetic words shall meet their fulfillment. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13:15-17. Satan will be the experiences of the Yahweh's people in their final struggle with the powers of evil. Satan leads many to believe that the Yahweh will overlook their unfaithfulness in the minor affairs of life, but Yahweh shows in his dealings with Jacob that he can in no wise sanction or tolerate evil. All who endeavor to excuse or conceal their sins and permit them to remain upon the books of heaven unconfessed and unforgiven will be overcome by Satan. Patriarchs and Prophets 202, those who are without Yahweh's protection will find no safety in any place or position. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 8, page 50. Oh, that troublous time, as said Yahshua. He that findeth his life to gain the favor of men shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:39. That time shall reveal him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Then shall the world be divided into two great classes, the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Matthew 25:33. Apparently it will seem that Yahweh's people must either perish or yield to the demands of the wicked. But mighty angels who excel in strength will reverse the current of the destruction. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with a violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and of the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Revelation 18:21-23. multitudes are afraid of falling. Let's do it again. While the multitudes are falling into the snares of the devil, and as he is endeavoring to wipe out the church, the third angel's message breaks through with a mighty power, and a loud cry is sent, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Revelation 18:4. And as the cry of the angel messenger rings through the earth, a great multitude of all nations leave the false but popular system of the worship, and against all earthly favor, take their stand with the saints under or with the protection of the divine power. This will incur the wrath of the dragon. The summary. Follow chart on page 150 for the tabulation of the events in this chapter fully illustrates the great prophetic occurrences that are transpire in the rapid succession as shown in the chart. The union of the churches represented by the woman sitting on the heads must take place before the combined power of the beast and the false prophet is fully realized. The symbol, false prophet, and the beast reveal that there shall be a national alliance of the church and state, that the woman riding on the beast denotes an international system of the church and state enforced by the civil law and the miraculous power. At the close of the probation, the nation, or the union, represented by the symbol of the scarlet colored beast, shall be dissolved with the destruction of the woman or head of that union as pictured at the turning point of the chart. The world at that time is represented by the horns of the beast, shall hate the harlot, dethrone her, and burn her with fire, which can be nothing less than by the revelation against the head of the religio-political system. Then the prophecy of the revelation of 1619 will meet its fulfillment, and the great city Babylon was divided into the three parts. That is the union of the Protestantism, Catholicism, and spiritualism, and dissolved. Note the verb was being in the past tense shows that the great city Babylon was divided before the seven plagues were poured out. That is, at the close of probation, when a woman was dethroned and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon in her divided state came in remembrance before the Yahweh to give unto her the cup of the wine and the fierceness of his wrath. Revelation 16:19, last part. For the fierceness of the Yahweh's wrath is poured out upon Babylon in her divided state in the time of the seventh plague. For the head of the night is stripped bare of the Daniel 7 in the burning fire with the woman, as depicted in the chart, represents the same event. The beast is a prophecy, and the woman is the revelation of that prophecy. Then the four angels of the Revelation 7, who were holding the four winds of the earth, the nations in check, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, shall let the wind blow, and as there would remain nothing to hold the nations and peoples together, and to restrain hostilities, the conflict within and without will result in the final battle of the Armageddon, Revelation 16:14-16. From that point of the chart, close of the probation to the second coming of Yahshua and the beginning of the millennium, there will be 15 months of season at a time. Well, Rich Jehovah has got this all wrong, and I want to tell you right now, Yahshua comes in the 12th parabolic hour, and during the last symbolic hour for probation is open. And after he finished leading his great army in Joel chapter 2 and destroying all the wicked of the world and setting up the everlasting kingdom of David with him sitting on the throne of David, Luke 1:31-32, after that is all done, he purifies the earth, turns it back into the Garden of Eden. He's already come. And so the Bible needs to do some refreshing on that, because the prophecies show good and well. That's really why the Bible says you have also a more sure word of prophecy, that you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star rises in your heart. You've got to take a more sure, and if you understand prophecy, then you won't be with misunderstanding about the second coming of Yahshua, when it is. That's before probation closes, not after. But you ought to have had that all wrong. At about the time of the seventh plague, the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire, literal fulfillment, and the same will become a type of the final destruction of the wicked after the millennium, which is the second death, for the destruction of the woman riding on the scarlet colored beast and the false prophet with the two-horned beast being cast alive into the lake of fire. Therefore, do notice that this religio-political system will be internationally dissolved. At the appearance of the Yahshua, the saints shall be gathered. Matthew 24:30. And the wicked destroyed. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. For the nations are represented by the beast, the man is seen by the little horn, having eyes of a man, and are now speaking great things. Daniel 7:25. For the great image of Daniel 2 corresponds with the beast of Daniel 7. These beasts are also represented by the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13, the mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and the ten horns. The scarlet-colored beast of the Revelation 17 is a continuation of the leopard-like after his deadly wound was healed. Thus he is pictured on the chart, showing that he has the characteristics of all the beasts before him. Therefore, the destruction of the beast of the Daniel 7 is also the destruction of the beast that was shown to John in the vision, and the end of all the beasts means the end of the world. The great stone of the Daniel 2 that smote the image on the feet is a symbol of the coming of the Yahshua. Okay. So, this little stone came out of the mountain like a great hand, Daniel 2, 44 and 45. The starched image on the feet goes into a mountain, fills the whole earth. So if this is a symbol of the coming of Yahshua, this little stone that starched the image on the feet, right here in the 12th hour, has a whole parabolic hour to go before probation closes. And it says it's a symbol of Yahshua coming. And the breaking of the image, you notice the breaking of the nations as a scarlet-colored beast brings this present world to an end. It also represents the world on the other side of the millennium after the subject of resurrection. For the fire coming down out of the heaven upon the beast, you notice the second death of the wicked 100 years after the second resurrection. Then the prophecy of the Enoch shall meet its complete fulfillment. Behold, the Yahshua cometh to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are unrighteous of all their unrighteous deeds which say have unrighteously committed, and of all the hard speeches which the unrighteous sinners have spoken against him. Jude 14:15. For the 14th verse of Jude applies to Yahshua's coming to the most holy apartment in the heavenly sanctuary, and the 15th verse to his second advent. The completeness of the words find their fulfillment after the millennium, for at that time only can he execute the final judgment upon all the unrighteous from Canaan to the end of this present world. For the first part of the chart dated 1929 to the curve marked Ezekiel is the period in which 144,000 are sealed for the separation of the tares from the wheat for the purification of the church. As the 144,000 are as the first fruits, with the fulfillment of the Ezekiel's line and the sealing of the service of the Yahweh, the 144,000 marks the commencement of the final harvest. And this final harvest is in the 12th parabolic hour. The probation is definitely still open, or as it is also called, the loud cry. at that time, the great multitude of the Revelation 7-9 will be gathered in the church by the servants of Yahweh, the 144,000. See Isaiah 66:19-20. For the cases of all who are sealed from 1929 until the final close of the probation will be investigated before the throne in the heavenly sanctuary while living. For the investigation commences after the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9. Those who are sealed from 1929 to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9 close of the probation for the church, not for the world, are living saints, 144,000 in number, who shall never die, translated without tasting death. For the class which neglected their opportunity were left without the seal to perish under the ruin of the Ezekiel 9 is Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 66:15-17. This example of the destruction of the sinners in the Adventist Church is a type of the destruction of the sinners in the world after the close of probation, for the great multitude of Revelation 7-9 living at the time of the close of the probation for the world shall also never die, of whom 144,000 were a type. But all the wicked being left without the seal shall perish. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Fear Yahweh, not man, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. That's the end of that subject. Our next subject is, we have some time. We have 33 minutes yet to go on this hour for the 144,000 Revelation 7:14 is our next subtitle. For the ground of this most vital subject has been extensively covered in the Shepherd God Volume 1, therefore we intend to bring out only that phase which does not appear in the first volume. For the following questions will be answered in this chapter. At the time that the Yeshua commands the angels to seal them, the 144,000, are they found by that message in the world or in the church? At what time are they sealed? Why are they virgin? Why is there no gall in their mouth? Are they men only or of both sexes? Why are they called servants of the Yahweh? Why are they Israel? We quote from the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy, this was the time of the Jacob's trouble. Then all the saints cried out with the anguish of spirit, and were delivered by the voice of Yahweh, the 144,000 triumph. Their faces were lightened with the glory of the Yahweh. Lost Stretches, page 117. Note that 144,000 in number were present in the time of the Jacob struggle, according to the following quotation. That time of the trouble commences immediately after the close of the probation, when the Yahshua shall cease his work as a mediator in the man's behalf Then this time other trouble will begin. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 201. That time other trouble is before any other sleeping saints are resurrected. Therefore, the 144,000 are not resurrected, but are living saints who have never tasted death and are to be translated at the second coming of the Yahshua. 144,000 sealed while in the church is our next subtitle. To make this clear, we must comment on the typical Day of the Atonement, for that notable day in the ceremonial system is a day of the cleansing, judgment, and covering. For the command was given that in the seventh month and on the tenth day of the month, Day of the Atonement, every Israelite was to afflict his soul, confess his sin, and bring a sacrifice. He who failed to respond to the divine call was put off, cursed from among Yahweh's people. Therefore, it was a day of the judgment and purification of the camp of Israel. While the sinner perished, the righteous were preserved. The living example was set forth for our benefit at this present time, upon whom the unchurchable Day of the Atonement is come. This picture in the earthly tabernacle is intended to point out the work of the heavenly when the judgment opened in 1844. As I previously explained, the investigation began with the dead, and when that part of the work is finished, then commences the judgment of the living. But that all transpired in 2002 at the start of the Passover, bringing the judgment of the dead to a close and opening up the judgment of the living in the 12th parable of town. While the investigation for the congregation or the dead is in the progress, there can be no separation among the congregation of the living. But when our high priest shall begin the atonement for the living, then there must be a message of the presence of sounding of the trumpet, urging everyone to lay hold on the Lamb of Yahweh, Yahshua, by which only can be and figure, come into the sanctuary, confess his sin, and secure his life, and thus the code of the judgment for the dead and the commencement for the living be made known unto us. We will have no present truth while the judgment for the living is in session. Neither would such judgment be legal or just. He who fails to respond to the heavenly summons will be left without the seal or covering of the oven, and therefore must be cut off from among his people, as prefigured by the services and the typical Day of the Atonement. Says the Apostle, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh. 1 Peter 4:17. For the fact that to the Seventh Day Adventist Church alone has come just such a message as the one mentioned presented to them in the ship of God by him on. Is an additional proof that this particular church is the house of Yahweh. This time of the judgment is also called the time of harvest. That verse go to get into the harvest, said to Yahshua, and in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them and to the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:30. For the words of the Master are in the perfect harmony with the typical day of the atonement, foretelling that it is a day of the separation. The tares from the wheat are the cutting off of the unrepentant sinners from among Yahweh's people, purification of the church. Therefore, the harvest commences with the closing work for the church. Said to Yahshua, let those go to get into the harvest, Revelation 14:4. Speaking of the 144,000, we read, there are the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. Therefore, it is evident that in the purification, our separation of the tares from the wheat in the church of Yahweh, shall be 144,000 who have confessed their sin and are thus made right and clean by the precious blood of the Yahshua. For they are the first fruit. This is also proven by the spirit of the prophecy, for we read, this sitting of the servants of Yahweh is the same. They were shown unto Ezekiel in the vision of Testimonies and Ministries, page 445, where we quote from the testimony for the church, volume 266, for the true people of God who have the spirit of the work of the Yahshua and the salvation of the souls of the heart. For every view sin in is a real sinful character, they will always be on the side of the faithful and plain dealing with sin, which easily beset the people of Yahweh, especially in the closing work for the church and the sitting time of the 144,000. Again, on page 267, mark this point with a care. Those who receive the pure mark of the truth wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by a mark by the man in the linen, are those that shine and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the church. Read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. But the general thought of all those who do not thus see the wide contrast between sin and righteousness, and do not feel as those do who stand in the house of Yahweh and receive the mark as described in the order to the 5 men with a slaughter weapon, go ye after him through the city and smite, that not your eyes spare not to have your pity, say out of the old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man you have upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Well, the definition of a general is extensive but not universal. Therefore, it does not mean the destruction of the world at the appearance of the robber, but it has reference to the wicked in the church. the slaughter is literal. It is to separate and release Yahweh's people from sin and sinners. Otherwise, the marking would be of no value. For the same subject is again brought to view in Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 211. Here we see that the church, Yahshua's sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of the Yahweh. For the wrath of the Yahweh cannot and never has been spiritual. We are again reminded that the 144,000 are the remnant. Now indeed are the remnant being martyred at in that day. Shall the branch of the Yahweh be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are saved of Israel, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Testimony for the Church, Volume 5, page 476. That's 144,000 are there who are sealed in the judgment for the Church, for the FCA Church, and with them the judgment for the living commence. Therefore they are the first fruits. When this number is sealed, probation will close for the seventh day of the Church, and the judgment for those who are in the world will commence. As the tares perish at the time when the probation is closing for the Church, just so at the close of the judgment for the world, the sinners shall come to their end. The one is a figure of the other. It is said in 144,000. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Revelation 14:4. The women mentioned in this scripture are symbols of impure. These women are brought to view in the Revelation 17. Under the figure of the woman sitting on a scarlet colored beast. While we quote Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and the Abomination of the Earth. This mother and her daughter are the woman with whom 144,000 are not defiled, for the message of the seeing found them in the church. Thus, being in the church of Yahweh, when sealed, they are virgins, not defiled with women, or with the fallen churches. For the servants of the Yahweh in the time of the harvest. Is that our next subtitle? But in the Revelation 7:3, the 144,000 are called the servants of our Yahweh. If servants, then they must have duty to perform. They are again brought to view by the prophet Isaiah in the connection with the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the destruction of the wicked. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape 144,000 of them into the nation, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations, and a clean vessel into the house of the Yahweh, the church, Isaiah 66:19-20. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent comely for them that are saved of Israel, Isaiah 4:2. Therefore the 144,000 are called servants for further Then you have Isaiah 66, the Shepherd God, Volume 1, 165-172. It is also it is also a side of this wonderful company. It is also a side of this wonderful company, and in their mouth was found no guile, Revelation 14:5. But this scripture makes it true that the gospel they proclaim is altogether the true word of Yahweh. Okay, let's read this paragraph all over again. For it is also said, okay, of this wonderful company, and in their mouth was found no guile, Revelation 14:5. For this scripture makes it true that the gospel they proclaim is altogether the true word of Yahweh. Therefore, the message they present to the world cannot be questioned as to its purity. For the prophet of Patmos, after speaking of the sealing of the 144,000, says, after this I beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 7:9. Therefore this great multitude is gathered from all nations. That's the closing word for the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the end of time of the great harvest. For the palms in their hands signify victory over the beast and his image, death and the grave. One of the elders before the throne said of them, these are they which came out of great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. See Revelation 7:14. For the servant of the Yahshua also bears a witness in the following quotation, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captain and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and he shall be able to stand. Revelation 6:14-17. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robe and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation and to our Yahweh, through his son Yahshua, through the blood of the everlasting covenant of his son Yahshua, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:9-17. In these scriptures, two parties are brought to view. One party permitted themselves to be deceived and took sides with those with whom the Yahshua had a controversy. Testimony for the Church, Volume 9, 266-267. As the Spirit of Prophecy points out these two companies, those who cried for the rocks and those with the palms, both living in the time of the great tribulation and the wrath of Yahweh, it is evident that the great multitude with the palms in their hands are the living saints, one unto the gospel in the time of the harvest by the work of the 144,000. All the 144,000 of both sexes is our next subtitle, for the command of Marcus County so that they fall not under the slaughter's weapon by the figure of the five men, reads as follows. And Yahshua said unto him, go to the midst of the city, to the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, a sign that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of Ezekiel 9:4. Because the word says, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men. Therefore, some have held the position that the entire country is made up of men only. For the second reason given for this erroneous idea is that they are to be kings and priests, and therefore they must be men. For the idea carried by these passages cannot be sustained by other portions of Scripture. Thus, we are compelled to study deeper into the subject. While Ezekiel calls them men, John says they are virgins. Revelation 14:4. Now, if we should take the position that Ezekiel means men only, then we can as well say John means women only. Can it be possible that one writer should contradict the other? No, indeed. We conclude by the following scriptures that the 144,000 are both sexes. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, John 1:7. All men must include both men and women, otherwise salvation would be for men only. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, John 12:32. If the word all men in this text does not include both sexes, then the women are lost, and the time of this ignorance shall be winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To Acts 17:30. Again, if all men include not both male and female, then women are not commanded to repent. It is evident that the noun men is a collective biblical term of both men and women. The same is true by the creation, for Yahweh made the woman of the man, therefore she is a woman. Again, in Galatians 3:28, we read, there is not a male nor a female, for you are all one in Yahshua. Since there is no difference between either sex and the Yahshua, then we see that women as well as men can be kings and priests. The same as thought can be carried out by the experience of the Jewish nation. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Judges 4:5. This woman held had a baby. This woman held a man's position, being a judge of Yahweh's people, which is equivalent to a king. Not only a king, but she was a prophetess as well. Again, we read in Luke 2:36-37. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. She departed not from the temple to serve Yahweh with the fasting and prayers night and day. Also the wife of Shalom, being a prophetess, taught Israel and controlled the college. See 2 Kings 22:14-16. Philip, the evangelist, had 4 daughters. She also did prophesy. Acts 21:8-9. From Paul's statement in 1 Timothy 2:12, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. You will note the meaning here is that the woman is to be in subjection to the man of Yahweh and ordained, if Yahweh had ordained, and not that she is forbidden to hold the office of a teacher. Again, we quote, let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Read the chapter and you will see that Paul wishes to establish order in the churches where there was great confusion by speaking an unknown tongue. Therefore, the silence of confusion, he says, let your women keep silence in the churches. He is not forbidding them to speak if they have a duty to perform. If this lesson was heeded in this age, there would be a great change for the better for the house of Yahweh. In the beginning, Yahweh created both the man and the woman, equal as king and queen. And Yahweh blessed them, and Yahweh said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Genesis 1:28, note that the dominion was given unto them both. However, after they sinned, a change was made. Unto the woman he said, thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Genesis 3:16. So after the woman sinned, she fell under the government of man. But that which Eve lost by deception shall be restored by redemption. Thus again, the equality of both shall be established as kings and queens. Therefore, there is neither male nor female in Yahshua. Yahshua himself confirms the idea in the following expression, for when they shall rise from the dead, They neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Mark 12:25. This is the noun men used by Ezekiel and the noun virgins by John is a collective biblical term comprehending both. Furthermore, the denomination numbers a little over 300,000 at the present time. Only about a third of them are men. If every man was sealed and numbered as one of the 144,000, we still would be far short of reaching the total. Again, we note at the time of the Passover in Egypt, the blood on the doorpost was a type of the marking or sealing. The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1. Okay. And that night, wherever the blood appeared on the doorpost, the firstborn, whether male or female, perished, not just so now. Those who receive the seal have applied the blood on the doorpost, forehead, and as the firstborn of both classes, those who died and those who did not were a type of the present priesthood ministry. Evidently, the type points forward to a ministry and the antitype made up of both sexes. The firstborn who died represents the class that shall fall under the slaughter weapons of the first of the five men, and the firstborn who escaped from death represent the class that shall receive the mark of the beast of the man with the rider's ink on and pass from death to life. Thus, the firstborn who lived and passed through the Red Sea are a type of the 144,000, the first fruits of the harvest are the servants of Yahweh in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. After the purification of the church and the sealing of the servants of Yahweh, then the message in the 18th chapter of Revelation shall culminate in a loud cry, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of a sin that you receive not of a plague. Revelation 18:4. As the saints hear the voice of the Yahweh shepherd in the gospel message, they separate themselves from the world and join the 144,000. While this shifting process in the fallen churches is in progress, the man with the rider's ink horn seals those who come out. When all the saints shall come out of Babylon into the church, then the work of the man with the rider's ink horn shall cease, and probation will close. See early writing, page 279. Therefore, the activity of the five men with the slaughter weapons shall continue, and their work will cease when the Yahshua comes to take his saints, for it is they who have charge of the city, church. See Ezekiel 9:1, the great controversy, 656. Then the present world will come to an end, and the millennium of the desolation commence, during which time the saints shall judge the wicked. For the 144,000 are called Israel because their experience is a duplication of that of the ancient Israel going out of Egypt to possess the promised land. Ancient Egypt is a symbol of the world, The Egyptian bondage is a symbol of the bondage of sin. The Exodus movement is a type of the church separating from the sin and sinners. The destruction of the firstborn in Egypt and the drowning in the Red Sea denotes the destruction of the wicked and the separation of the saints. The wilderness is a symbol of the church being apart from the world. The destruction of the disobedience in the wilderness is an illustration of keeping the church clean after being purified. The possession of the promised land is a type of Israel, the saints possessing the world. The war against the heathen in the promised land denotes the destruction of the wicked in the world. We are going over the same road once again, and in so doing, we must avoid the mistakes that were made in the former experience. This brings in verse 10, this is our contact, this is the 11th hour call. And then we'll never click on our audio archives, hear this message anymore. Let us close now with a song.